I smile at how God works, you know, because when I met Jim and he found out I was from Johnstown, he said, "I don't like people from Johnstown." And then God had him work with people from Johnstown. And then some about China, too. It's just interesting how the Lord works. I was really interested. We've been praying as a part of the project that Kim is describing, to involve the Chinese church, because we knew instinctively that that's what was needed. As good training goes forward, we also needed the church to be present, to be able to embrace these children and families with children that have autism. And you know, that's the thing, is that the church is God's instrument on this earth. This is what Jesus said. The church isn't about buildings. The church is not even about denominations. The church is about the family of God, the body of Christ throughout the earth. We are all connected. We are all a part of that family that calls themselves by his name, the family of God. And it's just incredible to see how God uses people that are willing to be used, and how important it is to be connected to a part of the body of Christ, to be connected to a local congregation that understands its connection to the whole body of Christ. Amen? We always want to be a mission-minded church, you know. Even our youth group is called Be Always Mission-Minded. Bam. And that's why. You know, family of God, that's who we are. And I got to tell you that that the more I study and I study God's word, the more I realize that the church is God's instrument, chosen instrument to bring healing to this world. It really is. You know, in these days that we're living in, it is true that a lot of people have become fed up with the traditional church, fed up with the petty stuff that goes on, fed up with being hurt by someone else that called themselves a Christian. And by droves in America, people are leaving the traditional church. It's true. You can look at the statistics. And it's a shame, because the true church is God's instrument of choice to bring healing to this world. Amen? I mean, we got to understand that as a church here. And we got to strive to become the church that God calls us to be. Amen? To be a part of the solution, not the problem. That's us. That's what we're called to. Ha! Amen. Family. Family of God. Yeah. Does anybody ever do a family history? Genealogy? Ever do that? Yeah. There was this Dear Abby article I was reading in preparation for the sermon today. It said, Dear Abby, I always wanted to do a family history to trace my genealogy, but I can't afford to spend a lot of money on it. Do you have any suggestions? And it was funny, because the response was, Dear Sam, yes, I do. Run for public office. Then your family history will come out, right? Yeah, but you know what's great about the true church is that, you know, here's what we say as a way of illustrating it. I don't care what boat you came over on, we're all in the same, what ship you came over on, we're all in the same boat now, right? Here we come, all of us, different backgrounds, you know, all of us broken and bleeding from life, all of us gathered together to share with one another, you know, our wounds, our hurts. And church needs to be a safe place, amen? God's family is supposed to be a place of forgiveness, a place of encouragement, a place of support, a place of identity, a place of security, a place of acceptance and unconditional love. That's church. I mean, come on. Here is where we're supposed to gain a new appreciation for true friendship and see how Christian fellowship can stimulate emotional health. which is the topic we've been on, right? And healing in the body of Christ. Yeah. You know, as far as our emotions are concerned, God uses the body of Christ, the gathering of saints, the ecclesia, the called out ones, as instruments. As instruments. You know, God, if you even throughout the Old Testament, God has always used instruments to bring about healing. The church is about the Word of God, amen, about praise and worship, about the fellowship of believers, and about the breaking of bread, which is the celebration of the Lord's Supper, which we call communion. Huh. These are the means by which God uses the instrument of the church to be a place of healing, and then uses individuals within that body. Yeah. The Word of God. I was interested in studying that back in Exodus chapter 15, if you remember that this is after God led the Israelites out of Egypt, out of that bondage, you know, and past the Red Sea. They had already experienced the Red Sea parting for them. And as God drove them into the desert, interestingly, he led them to the waters of Meribah. And it was a fascinating story because as he led them to the waters of Meribah, by now they were thirsty. But when they tested the waters, they found out that the waters were bitter, unable to be unable, because they would have made them sick. Now, how many here remember the instrument that God used to heal the waters of Meribah? How many can remember what instrument God used to heal the waters of Meribah? Do you remember? He instructed Moses to a piece of wood, which is interesting because they're in the desert. And Moses took the piece of wood, and as he threw the piece of wood into the waters became sweet, healed. The waters then were able to bring health and the quenching of thirst. They were waters of salvation then. Now, God later would use salt from the prophet, but here, why did he use wood? Everything that is written is there for instruction, amen? You know why he used wood, because God wanted us to see how he used wood to bring about the healing that Jesus Christ said that he was here for. The wood of the cross. Amen? Let me tell you why there is power in the church. It's not any one of us. We are instruments. All power flows from the cross and what was accomplished there by a Savior that gave us unconditional love. Amen? You know, God uses as a healing instrument a piece of wood. Has God instructed Moses to take that wood and place it in the waters? The waters became alive. Listen, through our connection to Christ, Christians become God's healing instruments through our connection with that cross. Amen? The cross of Christ. You know, a key spiritual weapon in the fellowship of believers, as we hear the Word of God, engage in praise and worship, partake of the Lord's Supper, and listen to one another, love upon one another, care for one another, pray for one another. God uses Christians. And here is a place of equipping, amen? Isn't that what Ephesians 4 tells us that the body of Christ is about? We come together for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And that work of the ministry flows from the power of the cross. No matter what ministry you're called to, listen to me when I say this very carefully. God uses then Christians everywhere as doctors, nurses, friends, family members, sisters, brothers in the Lord. He uses them all as God's instruments. He uses you as God's instruments. Whatever occupation you are engaged in, whatever calling you are called to, whatever ministry that you are involved in the church and outside of the church. Because we are still the church when we're out there. Huh? There was a fellow pastor that was battling cancer, and he wrote a very powerful memoir about his experience that he said he discovered the concrete presence, this is his words, presence of God and the healing power of Christ through the body of Christ that he was connected to as his family of God ministered to him in those days. He said they would pick him up for his treatments. They would take him to the doctors for chemo and radiation. They would make meals for him as he couldn't, as he lived alone. He couldn't make meals for himself. They said that they demonstrated so much the love of God. He says, I know just by their presence, their listening, their love, that God used them, and I could feel God's healing power in me through them. You know, why would we want to limit God? God heals through every instrument that is offered to him. I don't care if it's a surgeon's scalpel or if the healing hands of an elder that are laid upon the head of a person. Amen? Why would we ever limit God when we should come to God realizing that he wants to use every instrument that's available to him? He wants to use us. This is what we're called to as members of the body of Christ. Everyone apart, he says. Everyone apart. Huh. We take our place in the body of Christ. And you know what? We do that despite all of our shortcomings, right? Because when we come together, if we think that we can't be ministers until we got it all together, then you know what? We're missing opportunities to minister to one another. I mean to tell you, God desires us to immediately. This was the story that Kim was talking about with Gail's. Gail is a person from Tibet, and yeah, you some of you have met her here. That has been working with our mission organization, the Southeast Asia Prayer Center. She's a strong Christian woman, and she herself battled cancer. She in the process lost a child. Now, most recently, God provided for her and her husband to adopt a newborn baby, and she is a happy camper. I got to tell you, she is excited about serving the Lord and serving through this project that Kim was talking about in using the platform of autism to ministering to people. And, you know, she... She is a little firebrand for God. When she talked about her niece, you know, Gail had shared with her niece many times, but her niece still wasn't to that point where she was open to receive Christ. But did you hear how God used the whole situation and Kim's testimony and the teachers themselves to bring her? Lydia, the person that led her to Christ, was one of the teachers. No, she was one of the translators, yeah, in the church. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, come on. Hey, do you realize that if you've ever done a study of spiritual gifts through the scriptures, like those passages in Corinthians and in Romans and Ephesians that we had mentioned, you know, do you realize that the purpose of spiritual gifts is to build up the body of Christ? Yeah, that's why Paul, in his first discussion about spiritual gifts, he immediately goes to the fact that we are, we who are in Christ and are many form one body. And he says each member belongs to all the others. That's family, right? That's family. I'm done with my sermon, and I'm sitting on my couch trying to get a little bit of rest yesterday afternoon, knowing we were going to go to a birthday party for my daughter-in-law. And as I sat in the couch, I'm looking up at a sign that our daughter had given us at Christmas time that said family. And it talked about how that we are all branches on the same tree, and that no matter where the branches lead, they are connected to the same root. And, you know, you got to understand that this is how the Holy Spirit works. This is why you can be reading a passage of Scripture that you read before, and all of a sudden that one jumps out at you. God used even the illustration of that picture and the words on it that had been there now since December, to speak to me, not only confirming the message, but bringing me to tears over the power of family, the power of connectedness, the power that is God's power working in us and through us as we unite with one another into the body of Christ, the family of God. He says, be devoted to one another, right? This is the same passage in Romans chapter 12 that he says, use your gifts. You know, this is what he desires for us. In the book of James, there's a powerful passage that we often read above, but we don't read below. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You know, I was thinking about why he used those particular words. And you know, words are important in Scripture. You can't just jump over words. You can't read into them what you want them to say. You got to study the Word of God. And you know, now can I stay here just for a second? It's so powerful to have a fellowship, a church, that is so in tune with God's Spirit and understanding of the mission, and so desiring for each of us to be like Christ, that we begin to love on each other with unconditional love and acceptance, and that there is no judgmentalism. There is none of this that would prevent somebody from even confessing their sins one to another. You know how open and transparent that a church would have to be for people to be willing? Don't you want to be there? Isn't that what we desire? Isn't that what we want? That's what we strive for, is to have that kind of unconditional love. The body of Christ, listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. Now, you who are mamas know this better than anybody. What happens when your children are sick? Come on. You know what happens. You know. I'm looking at some of you mothers that I understand, you know. When your children hurt, you hurt, right? You see, that's God's way. It's demonstrating connectedness. It's demonstrating the roots of love. It's demonstrating the body of Christ. This is the way it's supposed to be. And Paul says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. In Ephesians, in that verse that I was alluding to before, he says, you know, when you come together, you speak the truth in love. Amen? You speak the truth in love. For in him, he says, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's why Paul said, so with you, if you're eager to have spiritual gifts, try and seek those gifts that build up the body of Christ. Amen. Spiritual gifts are done for the strengthening of his body, the family of God. That's what they're for. You know, that's why we seek them. That's why we want to be open to them. Paul talked about desiring the gift of prophecy. Do you know why? If you read that, you understand why. Because it's through that gift that you hear the inspired word of God that can speak into your life like nothing else can, that can penetrate and meet you right where you need to be met. Amen? The early church understood their priorities. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, right? They devoted themselves to prayer and worship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to the fellowship of believers. Huh. Listen, the family of God, believers, are God's provision of the human help that we need. We need both human and divine help. Amen? Isn't it true that when you search the scriptures, you find out time and time again that God's chosen way of doing his miraculous work is through people? Amen? And why do we box in the miraculous? Why can't we see the miraculous in God waking somebody up in the middle of the night to pray for somebody else? Why can't we see that as just as powerful? Why can't we see the miraculous in God moving the heart of somebody on their way home from the grocery store, which is just a true story, by the way, to take a diversion through a neighborhood, leading them down? He's trying to be sensitive to God. His car is packed full of groceries for his family. He's going through a neighborhood he doesn't go through typically, and God gets him to one place and says, stop. And it was one of those inspirations of God that he just stopped. And then God said, take the groceries and leave them on that porch. And he looked, and he's in front of a house. And he takes the groceries and he leaves them on the porch. And because of the trips he had to make, finally, the last bag was placed, and the woman in the house comes out, looks down and looks at the man and says, what are you doing? He says, I don't know. All I know is I was supposed to do it. And the woman begins to bawl and says, I'm a single mother with a family of four children that are down to their last couple pieces of bread, praying to God. Now, you can't see the miraculous in that? Come on. Do you understand my point? How God desires to use us, and how God does miracles, and a lot of them, he does through us. This is church. This is church. This is who we are. It's not where we are. This is the body of Christ. Paul says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derive its name. Family of God. Adopted into the family. I heard a really touching story. It was another true one. I I love to read, and my buddy here loves to read. And as Jason has shared with me many books, I've liked the stuff he reads too. But I'm reading this one story. The guy named Carl was telling it about being adopted and how he and his brother grew up together. One was adopted and one wasn't. And how, when they became old enough to begin to understand, they went to their father and they said to their father, "Which one of us is adopted?" We heard that conversation, the adult conversation somehow. And his dad looks at him and says, "I forget. I forget." There are no second-class citizens in the family of God. There are none that are more important than the others. There are none that aren't accepted into the beloved. Amen? We are adopted into one family. And that's who we are, the family of God. Friendships that develop in the family of God, they begin to affirm our worth. And you know what else they do in the church as we develop, the understanding of why we're here on earth, which is to be the body of Christ, to be his hands and his feet here, to be his voice. You know what it does? It whittles away at our tendency towards self-centeredness. When it talks about imitating Christ's humility, and we're the body of Christ here on earth, that's what it's talking about. Getting into a place that somehow whittles away at your self-centeredness and creates a willingness in you to be used by God, because now your focus isn't just on you, it's on others. Amen? In healthy fellowship, there is giving and receiving, right? There's affection, there's commitment, there's concern, there's interest, there's loyalty, there's love. But you pay a price for every close friendship that you have. You do, because it requires giving of yourself. Amen. But until we do, until we get involved in that, and we're in that self-centered place, we always even become suspicious of everybody else, of other people's motives. And it does. It keeps our walls up, and it prevents us from revealing ourselves, which actually ends up perpetuating the emotional pain that God wants to heal in the body of Christ. A lack of friendship and fellowship actually is absolutely impeding to our spiritual growth, because God designed our growth to come as we connect to the body of Christ. Someone said that this kind of fellowship in the church creates the world in which we can comfortably be ourselves, in which we are valued above all for just that, for being us. Being us. Don't we all long for that? The ability to be loved and accepted just for us? There was a football star that used to play for the University of Kentucky, Doug, John Beck. Later on, he became a preacher, actually, John Beck. And he was the chaplain of the U.S. Olympic teams. That's how I learned of him. For a number of years, it said he traveled with the Olympic teams all over the world. He led their devotions, counseling, spiritual counseling, praying with the athletes. And it says that as he watched these young men and women train, for the events in the Olympics in which they competed, he actually had thought, "Is this the picture, of what the body of Christ should be about?" Because there were people that were sincere and they were fervent and they were dedicated to the task before them. They were willing to pay any price. You ever see anybody training for the Olympics? Huh. Regardless of how much they had to go through or had to endure, they were willing to pay any price. But there was still something wrong with the model, he said. Then one day, he was invited to visit the Special Olympics. Special Olympics, as you know, are made up of special athletes. All of them suffer from some kind of a mental or a physical impairment. And it says he watched them as, on this day, eight runners lined up for the 100-yard dash. You may have heard this story. This part has become famous. They all took off when the starting gun fired, and he was amazed at actually how good runners that a lot of them were. But as they reached halfway point in the race, one of the boys fell down and hurt his knee and began to cry. And he said what he witnessed then. All seven of the other runners stopped, and all seven of them turned around and went to the boy who had fallen. And together they helped him to his feet, and all eight walked to the finish line together. And John Beck said he then realized the true model for Christianity, the body of Christ, the true vision for the church. That's the family of God. Amen? That's who we are. We are better together, helping one another, stronger than we are apart, especially striving only for ourselves. We are called to be in unity with Christ and then with one another, to support one another, to live out the bonds of our relationship and our connectedness in this body. We are better living out God's calling as a member of the body of Christ. God's family helps us to heal. The Bible tells us that God loves and accepts us just as we are, but loves us too much to let us stay that way, especially when that way is hindering us from becoming healthy and whole, which is what God wants. If one part of the body suffers, every part with it, it should teach us. It should teach us to come just as we are and not try to put that mask on like we've talked about before, but reach out to others and have others reach out to you and allow them to help. Amen? When Jesus stood up on the mountain and he began to preach to that crowd that had gathered around, I believe Jesus already had the vision of the church that he was creating on the rock, that the gates of hell would not prevail against. When he began to speak into that multitude and he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God, the daughters of God, members of God's family." And that is who we are. That is who you are. God's instrument, primary instrument for healing on the face of this earth is the body of Christ. And he desires that body to be healed and healthy. Amen? As a man thinketh, so is he. Woman too. And so we come to God and we come in fellowship with one another. And we begin to experience the power of the Word of God that can speak into our life. We begin to experience the power of presence that comes in worship and in praise. We begin to experience the spiritual strength that comes from partaking of the body of Christ at communion. And we come to experience the emotional healing we need at the hands of brothers and sisters that are willing to extend theirs to ours and say, I love you and the love of the Lord. This is church. This is his body. This is God's instrument. All of us. Amen. Father God, we thank you for who you are and for the plan that you have set forth on this earth, Lord. Father, we hear testimonies like that which Kim shared, and we are inspired because we get a glimpse, Lord, another glimpse of how you are at work in the earth today, in the midst of all the trouble and chaos. Lord, your body is your instrument here on this earth. Your arms, your hands, your feet, your mouth. Lord, your chosen vehicle for bringing life and healing to this broken world and to us. Lord, we're thankful that we are connected to one another through you. And Lord, we want to be that church. We want to be that body. And we ask you, Lord, to work in us, that you may also work more through us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, my friends.